They believe in teachers' unions. We believe in teachers.
What they do, they smile in your face.
All the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers.
Backstabbers.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Yeah, they believe in teachers, all right. We're going to punch them in the face. That's the claim to fame for Chris Christie. And you look at his record there in New Jersey, saying, look, hey, we took on those teachers and we've cut budgets and slashed their pensions. That's the vision for the entire country. So at least they're, I guess you got to give them credit on one vein. At least they're honest. You know that their goal is we're going to make teachers poorer, we're going to screw workers, we're going to do all of those things that has become the hallmark of the Democratic Party. Now, you may remember, we were back in July, I think it was, we had gone to the AFT Radio Row. They did a Radio Row in Washington, D.C. We showed up, and what was important there is they endorsed Hillary Clinton. They were announcing their big endorsement, the first union to endorse a presidential candidate, which I find kind of early in the game, but questionable. And that's why I've asked Trip Jeffers to come talk with us. He's a North Carolina history teacher, also a member of the NEA's board of directors, and I understand that they are endorsing as well. Trip, thanks for taking time for us.
Absolutely. Anytime, Rick.
So I look at this, and the 2016 presidential election is a huge one, I think, in messaging, if nothing more. The idea that we should have public education or the privatized version of it. And I think that's one of the key issues in my mind.
It absolutely is. I think it probably is going to be one of the most historic elections and one of the key elections in American history. It may even ideologically go down like 1964. It's going to be that significant, I think.
And I agree with you, but you look at the parties right now, and you got the Republicans who seem all on the side of the profiteers, the privateers, going after and attacking teachers. But sadly, also the Democrats, there are a large number of them who have bought into the Common Core and all of this race to the top and all of this stuff. So it's curious to me that the teachers unions have endorsed early without really pushing the debate.
Well, the NEA just had this discussion this past weekend in terms of the board of directors. There's a process that it goes through, which we can talk about as well in terms of the process, because as an individual member and as a member of the board, I think that there may need to be some revisions in the process to even require more member engagement than we had. That was one of my biggest frustrations going into it. I understood the arguments, I understood the strategies, but the process right now is that the president of the NEA makes the recommendation. It goes to this is only in a primary. If we were to make an endorsement in the primary, it would go to our PAC council, or Political Action Committee council,
right,
which is made up mostly of state presidents and other representatives of different constituencies in the membership. They would have to pass it by 50%. And then it would go to the NEA board of directors that would have to who would have to pass it by 58%. And so that was what was happening last week. The PAC council met on Thursday and made the recommendation. It passed, although there were several abstentions. It passed by 82.2%. If those abstentions, the largest of which were California and New Jersey, actually had voted in the negative, then it still would have passed by about 58.2%. And then over the next day or two, we had lots and lots of debate. We debated on Friday, and then we voted on Saturday, and it passed the NEA board of directors.
Now, the argument I would have to assume is that you vote for representatives, and it's a representative democracy. It's not Athenian.
Right.
It's not something that every member is – not one member, one vote that you have to
right.
spend a lot of money to pull. The idea is that you're going to have representatives who are going to speak for their members because their members are talking to them. So could you make the argument that the members are pushing this, or is this a leader-driven kind of thing?
Well, the recommendation came from the president. I mean, that's certainly clear. We've had lots of conversations. I've had conversations with members. I've had conversations with other leaders. I was frankly trying to, and I made this very clear on social media, I was trying to push for some kind of delay last week to allow maybe a decision at our December virtual board meeting, which would require potentially another type of parliamentary maneuver, a suspension of the rules in order to even allow for that type of roll call vote on, electronically. But, we tried all week long to at least give it a little bit more time so that we could do precisely that, so that we could have a little bit more meaningful engagement of our members. It is a representative democracy. It's a trusteeship. And, after having lots and lots of conversations, I mean, the members of the board of directors are supposed to make a decision about what they think is best for the union and what is best for the profession. But I do think that it requires more engagement than we saw. And I would have liked to have seen more, but that particular vote didn't carry.
Right. But at the end of the day, I mean, the reality is whoever you endorse now is going to be the person that you endorse in the general election come, 2016. Because to be honest, I don't see
a different vote.
I don't see either of the teachers unions endorsing any of the Republicans, given their record on education.
No, that's very important. The beginning of the process, even before a presidential, and I mean any a presidential recommendation, is that we engage all of the candidates, that we give them an opportunity to answer questionnaires, to come in for an interview.
Right.
And we reached out to all the candidates.
And how many got back to you?
Well, only Hillary, Bernie, and Martin O'Malley.
So none of the Republicans?
Not a single one.
Nobody, none of the Republicans bothered to talk to the teachers' representatives.
They didn't even fill out the survey or the questionnaire.
Wow. I mean, that have you been a party to this in the past? I mean, is this historically how things have been, where the Republicans have just written off, a couple million teachers and their representatives?
Right. I was, I've certainly seen it happen before, particularly on the national level. I've been involved on the state level in North Carolina, and, in the past, at least, not right now, but in the past, we've had some better relationships with both parties. And so when we go through interviews, we've interviewed people from a number of different political parties. I was involved in the both the 2008 and 2012 presidential endorsement. Back in 2008, I was just sort of a rank-and-file member. I had just been elected as a local president, but I wasn't involved on the national level in terms of leadership like I am now. But I remember being at the 2007 Representative Assembly in, I think it was in Orlando or Philadelphia, I think it was Philadelphia. And we had just a slew of Democratic candidates come and speak to us, and Mike Huckabee. That was it. He was the only Republican who came and spoke with us. And back then, did a fairly good job. He was approachable. He was funny. He answered some good questions. But that was probably the last time that we saw a national Republican presidential candidate even attempt to talk to us at all.
Because it just seems to me that the platform of the Republican Party is to destroy all unions, not just teachers, but all workers' representative organizations, and in also the workers' living conditions and their wages, hours, conditions that go along with it. And to me, you go, at some point, I think the general populace has to come around to that.
I think so, and I certainly hope that they see what all of the candidates seem to want to do. I hope that they see the man behind the curtain. It's almost like the Wizard of Oz. There's a lot of smoke, there's a lot of mirrors, but there are a lot of billionaires behind this, and billionaires, I believe, who understand that there are about $620 billion spent every year on public education nationwide. And they see that as the last frontier of American capitalism. And they see that's money. When the economy started to turn down, that's when they really started to turn their focus on that big pot of money. And so if we can't make money in the private sector this way, then we can privatize some of the public sector. And sounds like a conspiracy theory, but I don't think it is. I think that that's exactly what they'd like to see.
No, I'm right there with you. And I think it's not just the Republican Party. I think there are a lot of Democrats as well.
Too, yeah.
A lot of Democrats as well. So let me ask you, of the questionnaires that came back and the people that you had an opportunity to speak to, because I understand you had an opportunity to ask questions of Hillary Clinton and maybe the others, what kind of responses did you get?
In their voting record, we made this clear from the very beginning. When you look at their voting records and positions that they've taken on issues, both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton received an A from us, you know, while they were in the Senate, you know, over their entire time in the Senate. You know, Secretary Clinton's been out of the Senate for a while, so, you know, there's 8 years now that we don't have any votes, so all we have are just conversations with her, questions to be asked. Martin O'Malley was our sort of, we give an award for the governor of the year sort of every year at our convention, and he received that 1 year. So these were all friends of the NEA, we thought, as we moved into that decision. Our president, Lily Eskelson Garcia, invited Hillary Clinton to come and speak with us on Saturday, right before we voted. We had an opportunity to ask her any questions that we wanted. I stood up and asked her very specifically. I said, Secretary Clinton, you, or Madam Secretary, you have a lot of friends in this room, but the Eli Broads and the Joel Kleins and the Michelle Reeves of the world do not. And so if you were to receive our endorsement, what would you do to either distance yourself from or even condemn the ideas of the neoliberal corporate education reformers that seek to undermine or privatize public education? So, you know, my goal was to at least put her on the spot on that and force her to answer that question. And, you know, she hedged it a little bit, but I felt like she at least stated that the NEA was going to be the educational voice in her ear during the rest of her campaign and during her administration if she were to win.
And well, the question then becomes, you know, does she continue the policy? Because that's one of the things that I would be asking. Does she then continue the policies of the current president, President Obama, right, and thus the Arnie Duncan, John King
right
kind of direction that we're heading, which, you know, race to the top, not so much.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that we're clearly concerned about. We sure as hell don't want to see anybody on the Republican side because we feel like they would go even farther down that road. when she first started speaking to us on Saturday, she mentioned the Secretary of Education, and I think she's made it clear that if she has an opportunity to win this election, that the NEA, and I'm assuming the AFT, will be involved in advising who the next Secretary of Education should be. In fact, she even said, who is the best, in your mind, the best education secretary? And, you know, our president said the same thing I would say, and that's Richard Riley, Dick Riley from South Carolina, who served in the Clinton administration. I, in fact, knew deeply when I was in college. He graduated from the same college, and we were involved in a number of campaigns down in Greenville, South Carolina together. He was running Clinton's campaign. And so if we have an opportunity to return to that kind of leadership and that kind of focus on education, then I think that, you know, It'll be a much better situation than what
right
we see now.
So let me ask you, I'm sure the issue of standardized testing came up,
yeah,
and the high-stakes standardized testing that has gripped our education system. Where did the candidates come down? Are we going to continue along this path? Maybe they restrict, expand? What sense did you get?
Well, I think in a number of conversations with Secretary Clinton, I think she's getting it. I think that... And I'm not sure how she would have voted in the last, you know, 6 or 7 years on some of those positions. I do know that, you know, Senator Sanders, just in the last year or so, has voted to support some of that standardized testing. And so, you know, even as far left as he is in a number of ways and as much of a champion as he is for public education, there are times when he falls in with the you know, the DEFers, we call them, the Democratic Education Reformers. And there are a lot of reasons why they do. You know, we've been trying to reauthorize ESEA, the Elementary Secondary Education Act, this last year, and it's gotten a lot of traction. For the first time in 14 years, the Senate took it up for debate. And we found that, you know, to try to get rid of some of this high-stakes testing, there was opposition to that on both the left and the right.
Right.
The opposition on the right was coming from Chambers of Commerce, and I imagine they're primarily listening to people like Pearson Education Group, the testing corporations, people like that. And there was a lot of opposition coming from the left, particularly the social justice community and the ethnic groups, NAACP, Urban League, others who were saying, you know, this, we need to make sure that we're still closing the achievement gap. And we haven't done a good enough job telling them and communicating to them and other, you know, people like Senator Sanders, that this is actually harming minority students. And it's not closing the achievement gap. And these tests don't tell you anything other than they're often bad tests. So we've got a lot of traction with Secretary Clinton on that issue. But that doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't going to be other. She was critical when she answered my question of privateers and of profiteers who come forward and just offer the, you know, flavor of the week reform. And they are so far removed from educational practitioners that it often flops or makes no sense at all. So
yeah. Any discussion on Teach for America? And because we've seen this popping up in a lot of, especially a lot of urban schools and a lot of poor rural schools, where you've got these factory assembled teachers get their 5 or 6 weeks training and they're anointed as teachers. Any discussion of that coming up?
I don't recall a question about it, but it obviously has been an ongoing discussion at the NEA, and we've dealt with it here in North Carolina. We've got a governor that is very, very supportive of Teach for America. He was former mayor of Charlotte, where they're probably strongest in North Carolina, and his education advisor is chief, policy advisor in the field of education or the area of education is a former director, or he was some administrator with the Teach for America program. So it's been given full throttle here in North Carolina, and it's a big concern, which is also why 2016 is such an important election, because of those down ballot races.
Wow, you know, it's amazing how just in a very short period of time, that whole Teach for America thing has infested our political system and everything, or all of the ancillary avenues into our political system. It's really quite remarkable when you look at what they've done. It's kind of like an infestation of rodents or termites into your house. It's amazing to me.
Well, I think it has a philosophical bent to it, an underpinning.
Like a cult. I would say it's like a cult.
Almost. I've met some Teach for America teachers who are clearly capable and energetic, and they have some skill, but they've gone through a 6-week program to prepare them to be in that classroom, and to be in the classroom most likely for a very, very short period of time before they go on and, quote, get a real job.
Right.
Would we want our children's doctors to, have, the Pediatricians for America, and have them go through a 6-week program during the summer to learn how to be a pediatrician or a dentist or whatever? We would find that absolutely ludicrous. Lawyers for America, but I think that the purpose behind all this is so that they can show anybody can do this. Anybody can teach. It's really not that hard. We really don't need to invest all of this money in rewarding people who've actually gone through a program, who have degrees, who have a master's degree, who are going to teach as a career for 30 years and get a pension that's going to cost the state more. That's what it's all about. They're trying to, I believe, undermine the entire profession to show how easy it is and how cheaply it can be done. So that and to eliminate that group of people, that pocket of people as a political force, as a political power, because if you've got people coming in, spending 2 or 3 years and leaving, they sure as hell aren't going to be members of a union.
Yeah, and they're not going to care about the professionalism of the industry. And the sad reality is we're seeing it right before our eyes, the deprofessionalization of teaching and really the pushing downward. And it's sad to me. So let me ask you a last question. And looking at the endorsement process, I understand NEA, did they endorse Hillary?
The NEA Board of Directors just endorsed her for the primary on Saturday. Yeah.
All right, and that's
by about 75%. There was a vote to delay first, which, as I said earlier, we were trying to angle for to give a little bit more time for member engagement, but ultimately that failed. And then the next vote was the vote to approve the recommendation, and it passed by 75%.
And I understand there's been some pushback from the membership, or no?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're going to get, every time we endorse anybody, we get pushback, every single time, even when there is engagement. So most of it is there's a variety of different pushback. There was pushback on the right, which we always hear. This time we're getting pushback on the left from, the feel the burn.
Right.
And then there were those who were pushing back just because of the process alone. And I think those were the most legitimate concerns in my eyes, and they were the ones that gave me pause and they were the ones that caused me to get up to the mic and talk about that during the debate and to discuss with others the possibility of a delay, which, again, of course, failed.
But for me, the good thing in my view is that workers and members have a voice and a say, and I like to see that there's some controversy because it means to me that people are paying attention.
It does.
The system is working.
Yeah, it does. It means that they are paying attention. Most of that, of course, was on social media, and so it only involved those members who were engaged in that way, but that is engagement, and that is involvement, and the fact that they are voicing their opinions and really care about this election next year may be a really good sign that we might be able to mobilize people and get them out to the polls and change our political system.
I sure hope so, because after all of these years of the Republican attacks and all of the attacks that we've seen on teachers, I would think that they would be the most motivated group. Just kind of my thought on it. But Tripp, I appreciate you taking time for us. Thanks for your input and thanks for the insight, man.
Absolutely. Thank you. Anytime.
It was great talking with you, Chip Jeffers. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.